we've been dealing with so far this weekend have been initial reports. This is a final report from the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group. Just a few instructions. Again, I won't read through them all, but when we get to discussion, we'll give priority to counselors who are sitting here at the table, and then we will open it up to comments from the audience. I do want to again remind people, I guess I've been forgetting to do this, when we do speak at the mic, unless your name has been previously called out, please identify yourself. That is greatly helpful for the scribes, and also then those who listen to the recording will be able to tell who is talking. Greg Aaron, the chair of the working group, is here with us today, and I'll start off by thanking Greg for taking on that responsibility and thanking the entire working group for a working group that has been working for quite a while on this and has spent a lot of time, so that is much appreciated. Greg, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chuck. I believe we have 45 minutes. We'll start with some basic background for you. We'll then move into the recommendations and the final report, and of course we have time budgeted for questions. Marika, if we can go to the first slide, thank you. Just so you understand the history, this group was launched last year. It had a rather broad mandate and charter. It was asked to understand the scope and create a definition of registration abuse to specifically define domain registration abuse, also as distinct from abuse arising solely from use of domain names, and identify some ICANN scope issues, those aspects that would be within ICANN's mission and which specifically are within GNSO consensus policymaking scope. We were then asked to include and look at some examples of known abuses, understand them, and then make some recommendations. Some of those will be for PDPs, and some will also be other types of recommendations. So it was to get down and do some real research and understand some of the concrete policy issues and specific problems that may exist out there in the world. Next slide, please. We had open sessions in Sydney, Seoul, and Nairobi. We've been meeting for over a year, dealing with that broad mandate. We published our initial report in February. We then had a full comment period. We received comment from individuals and also various stakeholder groups. We digested those comments this spring and published the final report in May. One of the key issues we were asked to look at, and one of the key issues that you need to understand we talked about, was this issue of registration versus use. And this is a key concept in a lot of ways. You can think of registration as not just the creation of domain names, but those core domain functions that registries and registrars fulfill. So specific examples would be the creation of domain names, provision and maintenance of registration data, who is data, the transfer, deletion, and redistribution of domain names, disputes about domain strings, which is why we have the DRP, for example, and some other areas that we discuss in the report. These are the kinds of issues that are listed in the registry and registrar contracts as being subject to consensus policy making, and they're the kinds of issues that we've had PDPs about in the past. We're currently looking, for instance, at transfer issues. Use, on the other hand, may be sometimes related to registration issues, but is also sometimes distinct. And these distinctions are actually very important for consensus policy making. Use can easily be defined in some ways. It's what someone does with their domain name after it's registered. That can be a technical use, for example. People can use their domain names for websites, email, peer-to-peer file sharing, subdomains, technical uses. It can also be the purpose to which you put your domain name, the social use, the intent that you have. So we use domain names for speech and expression, e-commerce, social networking, education, and so on. Those are other types of uses. Now, sometimes these are related to registration, sometimes not. In a lot of ways, ICANN has not regulated use. This comes out of sometimes the values that are stated in ICANN's bylaws. We try to respect technical innovation. We also respect delegation of responsibility. And in general, ICANN has not regulated content. So that's a hasn't regulated content for good or bad. So that's use. Next slide, please. We had a really thorough grounding. What we wanted to try to do at the beginning of this working group was develop some common language amongst the members about these issues and work through them. So we did a lot of research. We looked at what the contracts say about policy making scope. We looked at the issues report, which contained some advice from the staff. We looked at what the picket fence is. We looked at some ICANN history and the bylaws and so forth. Now, what was interesting is that after going through all of that, we discovered that in this working group, at least, some people have different ideas about what ICANN and GNSO policymaking scope is. And this also goes up to what ICANN's mission is, actually. Some members were of the opinion that ICANN cannot or should not regulate uses of domain names unrelated to registration issues, nor should it regulate content. There were some members who thought that ICANN should regulate those things. And, pure use unrelated to registration issues is an area in which ICANN can compose, can impose mandatory practices upon the contracted parties. So in some cases, I think there's some difference of opinion. That said, it is going to come down to the board, the GNSO Council, advice from staff about whether those views are applicable. In some cases, those views are mutually exclusive, and they both can't be right. So where we have to leave it is it's going to be up to some authorities to decide in specific cases which view is correct. Next slide. So here are the recommendations that we've come up with. The first one is about cyber squatting. This is a well-known registration problem. It has to do with unique assignment and the domain strings themselves. That's therefore a registration issue. And we decided to focus on UDRP because UDRP is the existing tool that we have to deal with this problem. Later I'll talk about some additional discussions we had. But one recommendation that everyone in the group could agree on was that it's probably time to take a look at the UDRP. The policy is now more than 10 years old, and in some ways it's served us very well. It's generally considered, I think, to be a success. However, the report contains a list of issues that people brought up about it over the years. These have to do with both the policy itself and how it's implemented. And I won't go too much into details, but I'd encourage you to look at the report. And we have this recommendation that we do have that we go ahead with a PDP to investigate the current state of the UDRP to do a balanced review. And again, everyone on the group representing diverse interests thought that this was worth doing to see if some work is appropriate. So we should look at how it's been addressing cyber squatting over the years, and whether there are any problems or inequalities associated with it, and whether it needs to be reviewed or updated. The second recommendation is about malicious uses of domain names. What we decided through unanimous consensus is that it would be an excellent idea to create some non-binding best practices to help registries and registrars deal with the illicit or criminal use of domain names. What we're basically asking for is to get a working group together of volunteers to create these best practices. And I'd like to make a personal appeal that the council authorize this for several reasons. One, it can be very effective. I'm someone who specializes in these kinds of problems, and I've seen both GTLDs and CCTLDs learn a lot by sharing information and practices with each other. It can lead to some really effective work. Also, best practices are flexible. Different registries and different registrars have different business practices. They have different customer bases. They face very different problems. However, best practices can be adopted and adapted according to their needs. And that's flexible, and that flexibility is really required in an area like e-crime, which is rapidly evolving. E-crime is an area in which the bad guys do something, the good guys respond, the bad guys change what they're doing. That happens really quickly, so we need flexibility. We also encourage it because we will have lots of new GTLD operators coming on board in the next couple of years, and it would be a very good idea to let them understand the problems that they might face and have some tools that they can use to be prepared for those challenges. So this would be a good time to get this work underway. We also think that this is also a very cost-effective way of doing things. Basically, all we're asking for is a conference line and some staff support. So we think this is a good use of resources. Next slide, please. The next recommendation is about who is access. Of course, we stayed away from the issue of who is accuracy, which is a separate issue. But what we found is that basic access to who is information is really important. It has a bearing on a lot of registration issues. Both registrants and registrars and other people need this information and need to be able to get to it. What we see is, through our research is we had some problems, especially with ComNet data, because that information is distributed amongst the registrars in a thin model. And what we've seen is that we have two issues that might need solving. One is a compliance issue with the existing requirements that are in the contracts. Some basic research did reveal, and it's in the report, that a lot of registrars don't make their information available or in the manner in which it needs to be as per the contracts. For instance, registrars who do not have port 43 available at all. We also see some issues where we might need to look at some additional requirements. We found, for example, that if you look up a domain name on a registrar's port 43 server, you'll get a certain set of information. If you look up the same domain name on the registrar's web-based Whois, you might get different information. So is that a good thing to have? We need perhaps to look at that issue. So we've recommended that the GNSO look into this issue. My one personal suggestion is perhaps look at whether this is related to the work going on in the RAA group, because I think they may have touched upon this issue in some fashion. We seem to have some issues, and the details are in the report. Next slide, please. So in a related recommendation, we suggest that the GNSO request that the compliance department publish more data about who is accessibility on at least an annual basis. There haven't been any reports publicly available for a while that tell us whether or not we have compliance issues or exactly how many have been found or how they've been resolved. Good policymaking always involves some fact-finding and some data, and we found that we don't have enough data, perhaps for the community to understand the full extent of the issue. So we would like the compliance, we suggest that the compliance staff publish some more data on this. Next recommendation, please. Okay. Fake renewal notices are basically these solicitations that you'll get saying that you need to renew your name. One of the issues is who is behind these. Sometimes we think that it's mainly an issue with resellers sending out these notices, which can be very confusing, and especially to registrants. The working group recommends that the council refer this issue to the compliance department to understand whether there are existing means to deal with this particular issue. If there aren't, then it may be might want to be taken to a next step, such as an issues report to understand the issue further. But what we've seen are constant complaints about this particular problem. Next slide, please. This is kind of related. This is when you get a notice that your domain string is been requested by someone else out there in another TLD, and you should go register those domain names in one or more other TLDs. Again, it's a practice that's kind of aimed at deceiving registrants. And we did some research on it. We were not able to determine exactly how widespread it is. We recommend that somebody do some more research on that particular topic. We stop short of making a recommendation for an issues report necessarily. We don't have enough data, but we wanted to put it in the report and bring it to everyone's attention. Next slide, please. At this point, we're moving down the levels of consensus. So those were the unanimous recommendations. We have a recommendation regarding uniformity of contracts that receives strong support but also significant opposition. The idea here was that general language be introduced and considered that could take in and deal with existing and potentially future registration abuses. In other words, a baseline. That was the proposal. Some people were not comfortable with this because, one, if we have a problem that needs uniform action, some felt, well, that's what PDPs are for and consensus policies are for, because those apply to everyone when they're instituted. Also, some felt that creating general language might not be a good idea, especially when you're trying to deal with future or developing abuses, because you need to understand the abuse, who it affects, and to what extent before you can come up with a solution. So those are the two sides, and you can read more about that in the report. There was a second recommendation regarding cyber squatting, and the group was evenly split on this. There was no consensus. Some members suggested that the new TLD rights protection mechanisms be considered for application in the existing TLDs. So these are mechanisms like Uniform Rapid Suspension Program, Trademark Clearinghouse, and so on. So some thought we should look at applying those in the gTLDs that exist currently. The other half of the group said it's too early because we haven't seen how those work in practice, and also there are still adjustments being made to those mechanisms in other processes right now. So not enough information, and didn't think it was time, basically. Next slide, please. The next recommendation is I think you should take it as advisory and maybe consider it when you're thinking about GNSO improvements. The group had to do a lot of research and wanted to mention that it's really important to do uniform reporting. Now, on one hand, that means when you create a policy, you should measure its effectiveness. And in some cases, council's been doing that really well. You know, with excess deletions, for example, we have really good research and we understand the effect and we can measure the impact of the policy. In other areas, perhaps not so much. There's also this aspect that we don't have enough information to go on when we start these kinds of investigations. And it's, in my personal opinion, you may sometimes have difficulty having all the information you want at the beginning of a policy process. You are going to have to do some investigation and define the problem that you're trying to solve first. So we kind of have a chicken and egg situation sometimes. And it's my personal opinion that we're always going to have to do some research and studies in order to get to a decision point. Next slide, please. We also looked at a number of other issues and in the end decided not to recommend any actions. We certainly looked at some issues that people proposed as abuses, and we decided that actually they weren't abuses. They didn't meet our definition. And we also looked at some abuses but decided not to recommend anything. For example, front-running, everyone agrees, it could be a problem, but we don't have any evidence really that it's happening. So at this point we recommended that we leave that be for now until such time as we've got some good evidence that it's a problem that needs to be tackled. There are also some recommendations regarding things like gripe sites, which we decided UDRP is the best place to deal with that. Some recommendations about offensive names. Again, that tended to go towards UDRP or just being out of scope. Also, domain kiting was an issue that's separate from tasting. That's when people register a name over and over and delete it in grace period. We didn't have enough evidence that that was happening. In fact, we saw some data from GTLDs that it really doesn't happen much. So we don't want to spend any further time on that one. So that's a high-level summary of where we've arrived at after this year. First, I'd like to commend the members of the group. They spent a lot of time on this work. They had a big job, and I think they navigated the issues pretty well. It was a collegial group. I'd like to thank them for all their hard work, and I'd also like to thank our staff support, especially Marika. We got some good briefings from Margie and support from Glenn and others. We'd like to open things up for any questions or comments.
Let me start things off, Greg, and thanks for a very good report. One of the things that everybody, I think, knows that the council is trying to work on in the GNSO as a whole is prioritization of projects because of the overwhelming workload that we have right now and have had for a while and going forward. So I kind of have a general question with regard to priorities from the working group's perspective, if possible. If we just pick out the unanimous recommendations, which probably it seems like a natural place to start in terms of planning a work plan for this, are there any of those that the working group thinks are particularly urgent from a time perspective?
We didn't want to trespass too much onto your prioritization, but we understood that there's a lot on the council's plate, and a lot of our members are in multiple groups. So, you know, we wanted to try to be focused. UDRP has been around for a while, but there was a lot of interest from the members because there's been, you know, some interesting developments over the last couple of years, especially about regarding how the dispute providers create their rules and manage their panelists and so forth. I don't know if it's really a hot burning issue, but people are interested in the topic because they wanted to also talk about other rights protection mechanisms. So dealing with cyber squatting is still very much of interest to the community, at least coming out of this group. Malicious use of domain names and those best practices, I think it would be useful to get that going because we're going to have these new TLD operators coming on board and we need to get a jump on that. And it's useful. And as far as the council goes, the folks say, we want to volunteer for this. We'll go off and do this, and there's not a lot the council would have to do, frankly. So it might be a good use of time. Who has access? That's a question for the council about how to pursue that. As I mentioned, the RIA group is potentially looking at some of these ideas already, so you could consider whether to kick it over to them and fold that into their work.
Thank you. Mike?
Would answer the question basically the exact same way with one caveat. I think the best practices certainly should be bumped up to the top. That's something that could get started and really is not going to require any more volunteers than are in the RAP group now or have been in the RAP group and I think are very willing to share and start that process. UDRP reform, that very well may be, or not necessarily reform, but review, that may be a pretty big contentious project that probably is not going to fit into the council's prioritization scheme in the very near term, it would seem to me.
Thanks, Mike. I want to follow up on something you said, though. And it's really positive if it's true of the working group. Is there indication that the RAP working group members would be willing to continue working? That's what I thought I heard you say on one.
I can't speak for them all, but I think that there's plenty of support, at least with the best practices, to continue that work and build out a process by which contracting parties can share that information in the future.
Thank you. Christina.
Thanks, Greg. This was not an enviable task. One thing that really struck me when I got actually to the end of the report, and it actually was very troubling, is I started to look at the attendance. And I guess I'm a little concerned that we have working group recommendations coming out of a working group. And I will disclose that I resigned because I ended up getting on the IRT and I just couldn't really do anything else. I'm just a little concerned that we have recommendations coming from a working group where you only had 7 people, including yourself, who attended more than 50% of the meetings, but all of the recommendations on are voted on by 14 people, which means that half the people voting didn't even attend half the meetings. So I'm a little personally, I think that really undermines the credibility of the recommendations, and I'm wondering what your response is to that.
You want to go first, Mike? Okay. Most of the people who voted on the recommendations were actually consistently at the meetings, for the most part. Also, during our public comments, we got a lot of support for these particular recommendations from stakeholders. Now, I think you're touching upon a larger issue, which is there's a lot of work going on at the council and not enough volunteers who can make the time to get to all the meetings and be deeply part of the work. Now, when we had unanimous recommendations, that, of course, was broad support from people in a lot of different stakeholder groups. and we had the ISPs were not there at all, for example. But I think that you know, we did the best we could. This was a broad mandate. I think that had an impact upon participation over time. It was extremely broad, and it was a lot of work, and that wore down some folks, and some had to leave for other reasons. So I think we did the best we could. I don't think it undermines the end products, because that was very broad support from a lot of people and a lot of groups.
Well, I would just add that, you know, attendance at working group meetings really ought not be much of a benchmark for judging credibility of resolutions or otherwise. We need to evolve to the point where working groups can act on paper and on email rather than in phone calls, because that simply isn't scalable. Global time zones, different languages other than English. You know, relying on working group phone calls is really not fair to most of the world, in my opinion. And that's why we just simply need to evolve to where that's not nearly as important as it is today.
Thank you. Yes, David.
David Taylor. Yes, Greg, it's just a question. Did the working group take any input from providers of the UDRP, any of the three main ones?
WIPO provided public comment, and the group walked through those comments. In the end, and we have some notes about that in the report that you can take a look at. So we took those into consideration, but in the end they didn't end up changing our end point. But yes, we did.
Greg, in that regard, with regard to the UDRP, do I get the sense that the recommendation really is to do a review of it like we do of most policies? Was there any sense that the UDRP should drastically change, or is the sense that let's look at see if there's areas where it can be improved?
There might be a couple of points where the language of the UDRP policy itself no longer matches the practice. So there's a question of whether that's a good thing to have. For example, UDRP says that you have to express there has to be bad faith, and there also has to be use of the domain name. However, a lot of decisions over the years have re-awarded domain names without the domain name ever having been used, you know, ever having been active. So there's potentially a disconnect between the language and the practice or the precedent that's been established over the years. Is that a good thing or not? Maybe somebody should take a look at that. There's also the issue of not just the language, but also the way that the dispute providers do their work. People have raised a lot of issues. The rules that the individual providers create may have an impact. For example, expedited, is that actually in keeping with the letter and the spirit of the policy itself? Do we have issues of can clearly wrong decisions be reviewed? In some cases, we've had providers say, yes, we agree with the challenger, but then they don't assign the name to the challenger, even when that was requested. Issues like that. There's also the issue of ICANN does not have contracts with its providers, which has raised the question in some people's minds, well, how do you ensure that they're doing a good job or are following the policy? Our group didn't want to get into the details of that, but it's been raised in the community and seems like an interesting issue. And in fact, I think some of these issues have come up even at the ICANN board to some extent.
Thank you. Did you want any follow-up there, David? Is that okay? Okay. Any other questions or comments? I don't want to monopolize the discussion, but one of the things that I saw, and by the way, if somebody would like to comment or ask a question from the audience, please come up there behind where Greg is, and take one of the mics so that I can see. Yeah, if you come right up here, please. One of the things I noticed in several places in the recommendations that it says things like the GNSO should monitor or the council should monitor, the council should coordinate research. You're recognizing the terms, et cetera. And as I read that, I'm trying to think, okay, now let's see. How does the what are you envisioning that the council or the GNSO would do? Obviously, we're a group of volunteers and so forth. Is that more an indication that we should see if staff can do that, or is it literally suggesting that we as counselors do that, or GNSO members as a whole? Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of questions I had when I saw that.
Very fair question. In some cases, the group felt that the problem was big enough that we needed an issues report. Okay, we wanted to take a that needed a very decisive step. In some cases, people did research and we didn't have enough information to go on, and the group was therefore reluctant to recommend that formal issues report step. Okay, we were very aware that we need to do some decision making based upon some data. Facts. And in some cases, we could only get so far in our research. Okay, so it might be appropriate for some research to be commissioned. In some cases, we've asked the compliance department is the appropriate source of that. In some cases, frankly, we weren't able to determine exactly where that data should come from, and we wanted to leave it to you, the council, to figure out the appropriate spot. We didn't want to be too prescriptive. So, you know, a lot of these issues, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence around them, and in some cases we just didn't feel comfortable saying, yes, we've got a problem, or it's big enough to issue an issues report.
I'm less concerned about the justification for the recommendation in this case than I am about what does it mean that the council monitor I'm trying putting
okay.
myself.
When it says council monitor, it's basically there's been some concern. We have some evidence that something is happening, but it's not at a level at which you need to be concerned about it yet. We want to say there's a potential abuse out there, or it's at a certain level. It's not enough for you to be worried about it yet. Keep your eye on it, and maybe if something changes, let's circle back to it.
That's very helpful, because I was envisioning this active monitoring role and trying to figure out what that means for us and how we do it. So that's a very helpful clarification. Okay, we have a comment. Okay, over here. Please, go ahead. And identify yourself, please.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning. Eric Wilbers. With the WIPO Arbitration Mediation Center, one of the providers being referred to. I just want to keep this very brief, because I think that a registration abuse working group would have much more on its plate than the one mechanism that seems to have worked against registration abuse so far, which is GDRP. But still, let me make this point. Indeed, WIPO is on record with a whole range of positions in response to the various draft application working group reports. Most recently, we've written about number 4. And those positions are indeed known to the working group itself. We noticed at some point that perhaps our positions were not necessarily well received or even well understood, at which point we did offer an opportunity to perhaps simply, you know, answer any questions which the committee might have, and that opportunity, as we understand it, was not taken. Having said that, that's water under the bridge. It's just hard to understand how, at a time when trademark owners are invited to buy into a wholesale expansion of the domain name system, how the mechanism that seems to have been assisting them quite well so far ends up being suggested for a review at this time. So the two points I'm making is, first of all, is this the right time? We certainly think it is absolutely not. Not wise to throw this into today's mix. number one. Number two, if the UDRP would be subject to what is being called a review, it's very important, I think, to watch by what process that happens. If you want to see the most recent illustration of what can happen if what is essentially intended to be a practical mechanism ends up in review processes within ICANN committees succeeded by committees, look at the URS in its current state. I'm going to characterize this in a bit of a loose way. You know the expression, a camel is a horse designed by a committee, and that fate should definitely not befall the one mechanism that works so far, being the UDRP. That said, there's always room for improvement, there's always room for discussion, but let's absolutely make sure that it happens in the right time, and especially that it happens free of bias and based on information. Thank you.
Thank you, and I think you know that if we did a review, it would be through our working group processes, and we would encourage participation from any participant. They don't have to be part of a stakeholder group, a constituency. They don't even have to be associated with the GNSO. Unfortunately, though, we are dependent on those who have the time to volunteer. So.
It is precisely, though, I respect your comment because you are part of the ICANN structure. So it's perfectly respected what you say. At the same time, it's precisely that sort of structure which you identify, which, for example, the URS has been going through. It's really important to remember how the UDRP came about. The UDRP came about at a time when the domain name system was very small compared to where it is today, and especially quite unsophisticated in its squatting practices compared to what's happening today, and much less important in terms of the business interest behind it, number one. Number two, of course, and commensurate or corresponding to that, ICANN itself was in a very, very different phase. What we are submitting is if you put out the UDRP to some sort of review, do not make it a process whereby anybody's voice at the microphone is another potential amendment.
I believe that's the case of what's happening in our, and as you may or may not be aware, we have a working group model team that is heading towards finalization of recommendations with regard to the things you're talking about, and I encourage you to participate in that. If you think there's some elements of that that are biased or anything else, we certainly don't want that. Okay. I'm going to go to Wendy first as a counselor, and then to Jeff and Kathy. Okay.
Thank you. Just Wendy Seltzer, just a couple of quick notes. I participated in this working group, and here too was very pleased to see a great commitment by the members and chair to getting through a great deal of work. So I wanted to make sure that we thanked them for that. And I wanted to respond on the notion of UDRP review. I think the URS, for having gone through lots of community discussion, has important procedural protections that is, while perhaps cumbersome, also important. And review of the UDRP would entertain those suggestions, concerns about inconsistencies without intending to just complexify the process. I would urge that we not turn it into a review like the reviews of the ICANN structures that seem to last forever and produce just gobs of new work and no clear conclusions, but a focused review on places where people have identified problems with the existing mechanisms from one side or the other, from too many names being taken away, not enough names being adjudicated, and some focused suggestions for changes.
Thank you, Wendy. Jeff?
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I want to start actually by agreeing with Eric's second point from WIPO, basically that any review that is done needs to be fair, needs to be balanced, needs to not only consider some of the issues that have been raised in the report, but issues that IP owners have raised as well as stronger protections that are needed. The part where I disagree is that I think now is the best time. Now is a perfect time. I mean, WIPO went to the GAC yesterday and said there's not enough protections right now for existing trademark owners, and they're very worried about new TLDs, and went on to criticize, you know, some of the URS and the post-delegation dispute resolution policy. So I'm just trying to understand the inconsistency. On the one hand, you want new protections, but on the other hand, we can't look back at what we have in place where improvements can be made. So I think this is the perfect time. It's been 10 years since the UDRP has been in place, and I think now is a great time. I think it should have been reviewed years ago and probably should have an ongoing review. And, you know, issues have been raised to the board as to whether the UDRP providers should have contracts with ICANN. I personally think they should. Others do as well. So I think now is actually the best time, and I would put that, you know, number one or number two on the list.
Okay. Kathy, and then Jamie and Philip.
Okay. For everyone who was here in the, you know, before for the vertical integration, I just want to go on record as agreeing with Jeff Newman on some things. And and first, I wanted to thank Greg and the group for such a good report and so much work that's been going on for months. I'm going to agree with Jeff on the UDRP. I was part of the original drafting team years ago, or the final drafting team, actually. And I think Eric actually laid out lots of reasons why it's time for a UDRP review. It is an old document. It does need to be updated. There are lots of new issues, and we've all got lots of edits for it. So time to put it in the mix and come up with an updated version. On the URS, as part of that group as well, I just wanted to defend it a bit because it started out as a system that I called accuse, you lose. There were no rights for the registrant, no rights for the respondent, and or very few. I think it's become, as Wendy said, a much fairer system. Christina, not that it didn't start out as a good idea, but I think it's become a much fairer process. There is a real notice to registrants now. And what we've done, instead of cutting the notice period to registrants to respondents, we've cut the decision-making period down to 3 business days. So it's still a rapid response system and a fairer one. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And we're considerably over time, so we're going to wrap this up very quickly. Jamie?
First, I'm talking here in a personal capacity. So, first, I would like to understand the monitoring job of the council would be not for the council members. I understand that one thing that I figured of your presentation, and correct me if I'm wrong, is. We should or emphasize the role of the compliance department and also to give strength to this department, because we have been very fruitful in creating rules but not as thorough in demanding compliance to these rules. So I think this is something that we, our counselors, should reflect upon. This is something that I should be corrected if I'm wrong. And also, I would like to say that I very much appreciate this idea of best practices that can be adapted as things evolve, because as UDRP, okay, it's it relates to one kind of abuse, the abuse of marks and legal protection of trademarks, but I think the overall community is much more affected by what you called use or abuse, and best practices would address this more I think, broad, if not urgent, broad interest of the overall community. And I would, in a personal stress again, my personal opinion is that this best practice should be given higher priority than the other things proposed.
Thank you, Jamie and Philip.
Chuck, thank you very much. I think we should probably step back a little bit and try to think of the objectives of both what this working group's been doing and what the UDRP was about. And ultimately, it's been about the public interest. Huh? It's about keeping the internet a trusted place to communicate and to do business. That is what we're striving for in any of these mechanisms. Now, we all know we're on the threshold of a new expansion of a very new type, a new scale, in which trust protection mechanisms have been diluted from what they were originally conceived. We have, in particular, the URS, which is looking potentially less uniform, less rapid, and less potentially leading to suspensions than it might have done in the eyes of those who first created it. So we are at a time when the only thing that we know that currently works is the UDRP. There was an expression, once bitten, twice shy. And if we're looking at what's happened to the new protection mechanisms we're trying to put in place in this world where we know there have been gaps in terms of mechanisms to enhance trust, we're yet to see how they're going to work, okay? That's going to turn out, and we'll see over time how successful we have been in imagining those processes with the checks and balances that we put in place, and we shall find out if we've been wise with those checks and balances in time. So I think the question about revision of the UDRP has to be one of timing. And we need to think very carefully, when is it wise in the public interest to look at the revision of the UDRP, given the uncertainties of any other trust-enhancing mechanisms that we have? Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. And you led right into what I wanted to close with on this session, and that is that the next steps for the Council, and it will take us a while. As you can tell, we're not all on the same page on these issues, and that's nothing new. That's what we live with every day. So we will be starting the discussion on this on Wednesday, just starting. We're going to have to decide, first of all, how we will even develop a plan for following through on these recommendations. And certainly, Philip, I agree with you that timing is one of the issues that we need to consider in all of these things, if for no other reason, just the workload that we have on our plate right now. So I want to thank the working group for the hard work, the recommendations. The next step is for the Council to come up with a plan for following up on the recommendations, and I'm sure we'll be coming back to some of the working group members for your help in that regard. So thanks again, and we're considerably over time. Glenn, what's the next meeting in this room?
The next PPSC check.
And are both PPSC meetings occurring in this room?
That's right, yes.
Okay, we need to turn the room over to them. You're welcome to stay. They're open meetings. And I apologize for starting late, but I do want to let you know that unfortunately at 1 o'clock we are going to have a council planning session for our meeting with the board and staff tonight that is quite important, and we will need to start at 1 o'clock. Please stop the recording. Ha, ha, ha.